ZU on iTunes U. Mitnehmen zum Mitdenken.
Filter Research Day der Zeppelin-Universität mit Professor Dr. Karin Vandenberg zum Thema fragile Produktivität im Kunstfeld.
In a recent newspaper article published during the Documenta 13, the German philosopher Christoph Mencke detects a distinction between different understandings of the term art within the current discourse. He states that many theorists and practitioners stress a contradiction between art as knowledge and art as surface, or between art as critique and art as taste. Within this understanding, a politically moving art seems to be the opponent of that form of art produced for the global art market. Building on this common view, Mencke asks whether this understanding is reasonable or appropriate. More precisely, he asks, what if both alternatives are wrong? What if both strategies at least give up the idea of modern art, in which art, at any point, questions the necessary condition of art? Mencke's assumption is both the idea of art as critique and the idea of art as surface, taste, and amazement give up exactly this idea of questioning the necessary condition of art. He, like a number of other, particularly German philosophers and aestheticians, emphasizes the approach of seeing art as beyond theoretical and rational control. In German, he talks about the Unverfügbarkeit der Kunst. In doing so, he directly connects to Adorno's crucial opening of his theory of aesthetics. Here Adorno states, quote, "It has become self-evident that nothing concerning art is self-evident anymore. Not its inner life, not its relation to the whole, not even its right to exist." Auf Deutsch, dass nichts, was die Kunst betrifft, mehr selbstverständlich ist, weder in ihr noch im Verhältnis zum Ganzen, nicht einmal ihr Existenzrecht. If we take this serious, meaning if we think of art as a practice which always contains in a self-questioning of what art might, could or should be, which means at the same time not understanding art as a functional system or as a social field with specific institutions and study programs, but as a fundamentally ungraspable, playful and unforeseen, if not enigmatic, practice. How could we then think about its professionalization and its economization? What kind of role models would then be appropriate? How could we think about art in terms of labor or terms of production? At first glance, it does not seem very promising and suitable for daily use to operate with a formula of art which questions itself when, for example, it comes to build an art academy, or if you think of our own self-conception as artist. It seems much easier to think about these two oppositions Mencke mentioned. No wonder a lot of critical theorists have made themselves comfortable in claiming just critical and political art as the only true art, and therefore understand the art market, if not as their enemy, so as a kind of lost territory, where only oligarchs and nouveau riches seek their fortunes and their distinct positions. Other researchers, repeatedly arguing with Bourdieu, just take the gallery exhibition market nexus as the core field, why practices beyond the exhibition system are not seen as part of the game at all. I will not go deeper into this discussion, but one thing might be important. The market, during the Cold War, once taken as the ally of artistic freedom, has for most of art theorists apparently lost its capability to provide a diverse and heterogeneous platform on which critics, experts, institutions, and collectors communicate and discuss about contents and values. Meaning, the old idea of the art system or the art field, with the traditional players like artists, galleries, critics, and collectors, seems to fall apart. Since about 10 years, at least, one can observe the tendency that collectors and galleries started to create their own discourse system, brought themselves in museums, hired their own curators and critics to upgrade their possessions. So, what follows from this is actually a growing gap between the gallery exhibition nexus, which seems more and more dominated by, if not congruent with, the market sphere, on the one hand, and so the so-called critical art, community-based art, and political activism on the other. And what moreover can be observed is that the boundaries between these two fields are becoming weaker, meaning we actually do not talk about one field anymore. This would be my thesis, at least. I therefore would like to suggest in my presentation is that we should not just consider a conception of an art field with just one role of the professional artist and just one job description, and the idea that the quality of art is directly connected to a particular artistic career, a biography, and a personality. Meaning, we should not just think that the only particular concept of an artistic professional career proves aesthetic quality. What I would like to suggest, as it follows from our field research on artistic practices beyond the art market, is that a lot of projects and activities are not regarded as professional art practices in the traditional sense. They might rather look dilettante in terms of their setup, their educational background, and not at least their economical conception. But this is not necessarily a proof for a lack of quality. Why are these considerations important? They are important because most of the legal issues like artists' social insurance, the support of artists, the cultural commitment, the whole educational system of art schools, all still aims at a job description in which artists are still understood as me incorporated and self-employed producers. Self-assignment, the initiation of its own activities, self-employment, and an emancipatory self-conception seem unavoidable. If we talk about the job description of an artist, it still does not seem appropriate that an artist works as a salaried employee. But where and how does an artist work if he or she understands her or himself as an independent knowledge worker or as a critical activist and not as a supplier to the art market? What could artistic labor mean in that sense? And more importantly, does it really make sense to talk about art in terms of labor and production? Are we giving up the self-skeptical idea of art in doing so? Should art embrace and include itself in an institutional logic of remunerated work? In my following presentation, I would throw light on 5 modules of artistic practice beyond the gallery exhibition system. In doing so, I will take a critical view on the role models and its semantics and the semantics of artistic labor. And at the end, I will question the idea of the self-conditioning of the artist as a lifelong fate. So my first I will talk about the artist as a researcher, then I will talk about the artist as a social engineer, after that as the artist as a project creator, and my fourth role model is the artist as an activist, and then the artist as an agent of art. And at the end, I will talk about, which doesn't lead to the role models, the end of the lifelong obligation. So let me start with the artist as a researcher. I think we are all aware that since about 20 years, the label artistic research has become very popular. I cannot go deeper into the topic, what different theorists and practitioners understand by classifying their practice or the practice of others as artistic research, but I will give some very rough and principal considerations. One of the main reasons to establish the term artistic research in the UK was to expand the funding possibilities of artists and to integrate researching artists into the institutional logic of the university. Another reason was more and more artists embraced the idea of being a knowledge worker within the knowledge society. Catherine David's Documenta 10 was a good example for this approach. Theorists like Macharey supported this new view. In the meantime, a number of theorists became more critical about this role model of the artist as a knowledge producer. Tom Holert and Simon Scheik, for instance, emphasized that knowledge has been commodified, industrialized, economicized, and being made a subject of the free trade. And that, quote, "the notion of knowledge production implies a certain placement of thinking of ideas within the present knowledge economy," unquote. And that they are part of the current post-Fordist capitalism. And this means understanding oneself a knowledge worker does not guarantee freedom and self-determination. To the opposite, it is a kind of mainstream concept within the current economy. And there is a second point of which we as academics of the 21st century are very much aware of. If we talk about research funding, we also talk about standardization and measurability, and like Scheik points out, on the molding of artistic work into formats of learning and research. So, what I would like to emphasize is that with every creation of a new concept of art, we get new questions and problems, which again put the ideas of autonomy, emancipation, self-determination, and subjectivity to the test. I'm coming to my next role model, the artist as a social engineer. Since the 90s of the last century, the role of the artist as a social engineer became quite fashionable. The old idea of blurring the borders between art and life seem to become reality. When artists like Dan Peterman not only design public squares but run their own resource center and employed and supported kids from so-called difficult backgrounds through the foundation of a bike shop where the kids could build their own bikes out of recycling pieces. Other more recent examples like the Right to the City Initiative, the Anti-Gentrification Initiative, and participatory neighborhood projects. One example for this is the Macau occupation in Milan. Just show some pictures out of their self-presentation. So they occupied this building and made several events there for some weeks. And another famous example is Park Fiction in Hamburg and all the recent follow-up projects. The problem all these initiatives are permanently confronted with is their instrumentalization by politics. At least they are always in danger of being pocketed by the political system and their interests. They run into the risk to be misunderstood as a proof of civil engagement. And sometimes they are misused as evidence that the state engagement and support of social problems might be superfluous.
Another point is that all these projects are also regarded from the political correctness point of view, which in a way seems absolutely legitimate to me, but therefore they are easily divided in good and bad guys. An artist, for example, who allows him or herself to work as a consultant in a company to solve problems, social problems of the employees, will immediately be seen as a snake, as everyone would assume that he or she just works for the company's purpose. And I would allow myself to say, this is not necessarily a wrong or bad purpose, but the patterns to judge these practices are still very simple. I'm coming to my next role model, the artist as a project developer. Within the current enterprise and event society, the role model has become quite popular in terms of economic theory and practice. Thanks to Luc Boltanski and Yves Chapello and their investigation on management theory, the entanglement between neo-capitalistic, project-based and self-responsible work models of the project-based polis and the role model of an artist is quite well known in critical art theories. Self-employment, project-based, independent work models with fluid networks are exactly what is in demand within the current management fashion. And it is exactly a 19th century role model of the creative, ingenious subject which with obvious delight exploit itself in realizing unlikely projects. I give another example with the French artist Cyprien Gaillard, who made kind of events while destroying the skyscrapers. And it is moreover exactly this inspired project developer who is in demand to serve the event society. One of the most known project developers might be Christo and Jean-Claude. Even as Christo always was part of the exhibition system, he financed most of the projects through fundraising, which sometimes took years. The paradox point within the system is that the most self-exploited strategy is the most economical one, and the so-called emancipated approach is not seldom radically exposed and committed to the logic of the cultural industries and its imperatives. He or she changes between success-focused and being a ridiculous figure if his or her project fails. So this is a famous example from Spitzweg about a Projektenmacher. It's the title of this picture. And as you see, the balloon is not collected to the basement. So immediately they will fall down. If I go through all this thesis, these role models, you might think that I'm just that it's just about deconstruct every concept. But I do not aim the deconstruction, but a critical view. And at least I would like to sensitize ourselves to notice that we cannot avoid a struggle with every role model, and that this fight seems to be part of the job, if not the core of artistic practice. But sorry for that, I cannot spare you the last two role models, for the artist as an activist and the artist as an agent of art. But I will try to give a very brief introduction to these concepts. Let me start with an example. The artist Oliver Ressler recently explained on a conference that the beginning of his career, he has always been asked why he calls his practice art. And many people doubt that it makes sense to do so. And then he was asked for many years why he criticized capitalism. And then people stopped asking this as well after the financial crisis, of course. But what happens to you, to yourself and image as an artist, when your practice becomes a kind of mainstream activity? Now, this is not the only danger. Another danger is if you were therefore change your subject and start to work on a new, unfamiliar, and therefore hot topic, as a consequence, you might lose your credibility, also in your own eyes. Thus, there are always many reasons to stop being an artist. This is the example of Feynman, who worked on many, many subjects, mostly connected to feminism, but also many subjects which are just on the agenda of political debates. Therefore, I understand the worries of the artist and Andrea Fraser quite well. She made a recent comment that she is afraid that the political art has become trendy and by the same time runs into the risk of being totally disconnected to the phenomenon of which it makes a subject of discussion. She wrote, "It was the almost total disconnect I found between what artworks are under these historical and economical conditions and what artists, curators, critics, and historians say that those arts, especially those works they support, do and mean. This disconnect seemed most acute not in formalist and phenomenological approaches, but rather in perspectives that do attempt to link art to social and historical conditions. What I precisely found in such perspective was elaboration of formal and iconographic investigations as figures of radical social and even economic critique, while the social and economic condition of the works themselves, the curatorial commodities, were completely ignored or recognized only in the most emphasized way," unquote. What to me seems convincing about this quotation is not that it is about simple political correctness, but about the real concern how political art, art with a critical approach, becomes credible. Credible without becoming just social work. And to speak more precisely, speaking about the social world and acting as a political activist is just trendy. Or just like in a joke of the We Girls, recently quoted by Andrea Fraser, which goes like this: "Philosophers have only interpreted the world. The point is to quote Marx." Therefore, the question remains, how can we redefine political art? This is also of particular interest if we consider Adorno's observations. Adorno was, like Jacques Rancière today, very doubtful about art explicitly aiming to be political or aiming to directly archive social transformation, achieve social transformations. One of the main questions, therefore, remains how important is the autonomy of art? What do we lose if we decide for post-autonomous art? Must we, to reconcile art and social justice, decide for a totally new approach? Must we decide for a dissolution of the art field and its social arrangements? At least these are the questions the artist as an agent, so like Andrea Fraser, deals with. He or she is a reflection agent. A figure like Andrea Fraser, for instance, who reminds us on two questions. Firstly, does it still make sense what we are doing here if we see the bigger picture? And secondly, and what exactly could be a function of art today? Are we still going into the right direction? Artists like her also connect the social, so-called engaged practices somewhere on this planet to a hegemonic discourse. And they try to take a position which also takes a very radical decision into account. To step outside, or like Joseph Beuys said, I hereby leave the art, hiermit trete ich aus der Kunst aus. Therewith I lead over to my last point, the end of art as a lifelong fate. I would again like to explain it with an anecdote. When I went to an artist talk some months ago, the very young and by the same time very successful artist Michael Salzdorfer talked about his own career and how it started, and that he already was very successful because before he left the academy in Munich. He realized some amazing big projects like this, for example, in the public space. And he said one remarkable sentence. If he would not be successful anymore, he would immediately think of another job. Why is this remarkable? It's remarkable because most art academies cultivate and condition a self-image that being an artist does not only mean to be more subjective, like other subjects, but it also is also inscribed into your identity. It is not just a job, but also has to be understood as a lifelong obligation. And this now leads to my last considerations. What I tried is to illuminate some thoughts about circulating semantics, which currently are used to define the artist's role within society. If we put aside the whole museum, so I just talked about this artist, I left back, if we put aside the whole museum gallery nexus. The whole considerations are based and embedded on an interview and interviews and participatory observations. And they also result from a fruitful cooperation with many other colleagues and a conference we held at the Zeppelin Universities about 2.5 years ago. And at the moment we are about to publish a book at Sternberg Press called Artistic Production Beyond the Art Market. We committed ourselves to the question whether the circulating role models and the whole idea of the art field has to be considered. Not only because practices like political activism and neighborhood management are pocketed by the so-called creative industries, but also because we should scrutinize our concept of professionalization and rethink whether dilettantism automatically leads to a lack of quality. And to revert to the beginning of what if we do not think in the system to the beginning, what if we do not think in a system or a field logic? Could we then guarantee a particular quality that still makes a difference? How about the unavoidability of art? Is it just the individual case, or are there any patterns? Thank you.